And welcome everybody to Pick and Slip. I'm Gavin Miller alongside
Braden Pittman.
And we are back this Thursday for Pick and Slip. And there's been a lot of big news in the NBA regarding, you know, games got canceled yesterday and
boycotted.
Yeah. For Jacob Blake.
Yes, the extremely tragic shooting of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin. The Bucks were the first team to boycott.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bucks versus Magic game was canceled. Then every other team on the ticket and for last night boycotted. All of the WNBA yesterday boycotted. I believe MLB teams did. Was it all the MLB or just a couple of them?
I don't know if it was all the MLB teams. You know, there was a few. Hockey had their games. And I think it was like the MLS is what it was called.
Yeah. Also, Major League Soccer also also boycotted. So, Gavin and I aren't going to go deep into that. I think you guys know the implications of that. No games. I'm just going to say, I think a statement that both of us can stand by. We stand with the players. At least I do. I think that their actions were justified, and that's all that I have to say.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw my two cents in there really fast, as I also don't want to get too deep into it. I do respect the player's decision. I'm not against it. I also feel like there is justified for them to not play. So I kind of have the same beliefs as Braden does.
Yeah, and with that being said, we're just going to get back into this week in basketball. What's happened?
Yeah.
So I have scores from last Thursday where Miami took a 2-0 lead on the Pacers. I was so naive to think that we would be able to come back from that.
Yeah. Especially without Sabonis and Victor Oladipo playing on one leg. Chances of us coming back were very slim.
Yeah, and I'm sure a lot of there have been three series that have been decided now. Do you want to just go ahead and run down those real quick?
Yeah.
Hometown team, Indiana Pacers versus the Miami Heat. Pacers without Sabonis and with our old all-star, Victor Oladipo injured. Pacers got swept in four. Four games, lost them all.
About the Pacers-Heat games, I really do believe that even though Pacers got swept, it wasn't a bad series. There isn't evenly matched teams, in my opinion. None of the games were crazy blowouts, regardless of the score. I believe last game was like 87-99. Yeah. It was a very low-scoring game, very defensive series.
Yeah, both teams fought really hard. I have nothing but good things to say about the Miami Heat team. Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, Goran Dragic all played great. They have a really solid team over there, and I wish them luck in the rest of the playoffs. I know that there are a lot of Pacers fans who are very anti-Heat right now, and a lot of Heat fans that are very anti-Pacers. I sit in the middle because I try not to be a fan of any one individual team, try to remain biased, especially for this show. And I really just, I think that both teams played really hard and good, and hope to see them next year.
Yes, you know, I have complete respect for the Miami Heat. Great organization, great coaching staff.
Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, as you said, Jimmy Butler, they surrounded him with, when he came in, has Bam Adebayo, Duncan Robinson, Goran Dragic, so.
Really, really solid team.
Yeah.
Great coaching, great owners, for the most part, from what I've heard. And just overall, really good team.
Yeah.
Really, I could legitimately see them taking a couple games against the Bucks.
I against the Bucks, I could see maybe another five-game series. For the sole fact, though, if that Giannis, no one's going to go Giannis. They're probably going to throw Bam on Giannis.
Yeah, I just think that Bam is really quick. Mm-hmm. He's big, but Giannis just won Defensive Player of the Year. He's the biggest, strongest, fastest player in the league.
Yeah, and I don't think
nobody's stopping.
And regardless if you throw Bam Adebayo on him, Bam's a great player. He's a great ball handler. He takes the ball up the court for the Heat. And as well as on defense, great defensive player. I don't think anyone can guard Giannis in the league. Yeah. I think Giannis is lengthiness is just, if he could shoot, then the league would be over at this
there's
point.
There's two people that have stopped Giannis. Kawhi, who's in the West now, and Al Horford, who was on the 76ers, who are now eliminated.
Al Horford.
Yeah.
Al Horford, he's a clamp god, if I could say so myself. Then he clamped only person to what hold Joel Embiid to.
Yeah.
So.
Al Horford, I don't know how, but for some reason over the last couple of years, he's really been good against Joel Embiid and Giannis, and that's part of the reason that the 76ers signed Al Horford is because Al Horford was the only person that could stop Embiid. But then he went and stopped Embiid when they were teammates, so that just didn't look too good.
The Embiid whisper. But yeah, wasn't it? Embiid had zero, right? When he played against Horford, or was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was zero. Because I kind of cut off because I wasn't 100% sure, and I wanted to make sure I came back and
Embiid
said it.
Embiid had a 0 point game against Al Horford, like last season.
Yeah. And then, like I said,
is incredible.
But yeah, which is insane. I mean, think of Al Horford. I feel like Al Horford has been in the league for
a million years.
Yeah.
He was on that Hawks team that got the one seed under Mike Budenholzer. Or was that like the two seed or something?
It was when Josh Smith was there. And,
yeah, and then they lost in the first round because they were not a playoff team.
They got the first and second seed and weren't a playoff team.
They just were not a good playoff
team. They were just a regular season team. And
yeah.
Not the play. They weren't playoff ready.
Yeah, and that was partially personnel, partially Mike Budenholzer. Mm-hmm. He has kind of a history of making really good playoff teams and then not or really good regular season teams and then not performing a whole bunch in the playoffs. But that's the Pacers, really.
Well, also, if we're on the topic of the Pacers, we're talking about Nate McMillan got fired.
Yeah, Nate McMillan, after 2 weeks ago signing a contract extension, he got an extra year and then was immediately terminated after the sweep. He was the Pacers have been eliminated in the first round 5 straight years.
I thought it was 3 out of 4 years.
No, it was...
Or 4 out of 5.
It was that the last 5 years we've gotten eliminated in the first round. Nate McMillan coached for 4 of those, and 3 of those first round exits were sweeps.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking. I thought 3 or 4 of them were sweeps.
Yeah.
And
we got swept 3 times under Nate McMillan.
Don't...
One time took the Cavs to 7.
I mean, listen. Here's I'm going to rant a little bit. Here's what I say. Nate McMillan's a great coach. I could honestly say 2 years ago you could have gave him DPOY before Nick Nurse.
Coach of the year.
I said DPOY. Coach of the year. Just thinking of Giannis still. And you could have gave him coach of the year.
Yeah.
Because in the entire seasons that Nate McMillan has coached, he has not actually gotten a full roster. And that's what I believe. This year, he's doing good with his roster. Of course, the entire season, Victor Oladipo was practically hurt, playing on one leg the entire season, including the bubble and playoffs. Then they go to the bubble, so Bonus doesn't show up. That's your main star right there who doesn't show up. Then you have your second star.
Just 20-15.
Yeah, and then you have your second star, Victor Oladipo, who is basically playing on one leg at this time.
He finally, right when the playoffs hit, starts to get back to old form.
Yeah.
But still don't have Sabonis.
Yeah. And so it's not enough. You know you're going up against an inside presence in Bam Adebayo, and that's the Heat series.
Yeah.
And you don't have Sabonis. And then years before that, Victor Oladipo was also hurt, and he didn't play a full season. So one season you're without Oladipo. Then you have Sabonis. And then I think the first year he coached, Sabonis was not the type of player he was. He was still coming off the bench as a good, decent player. Did not spark into the player he was. So I truly believe that Nate McMillan did not have a full roster any of the years he coached.
And here's one thing I'll say about Nate, is he really knows how to get potential out of dudes that are bench players, like Justin Holiday, Doug McDermott.
Yeah.
Those are two prime examples of people that were on fire off of the bench. Same thing with Jeremy Lamb a lot of the time. He knows how to get the most out of those type of players. During the regular season, we haven't seen enough of him in the playoffs to know because he keeps getting swept. Because he doesn't have full rosters. But he really knows how to squeeze out as many wins in the regular season as a team can get. Pushed us to the 4 seed this year when we should have been like a 6 seed because of injuries.
Yeah.
And last season pushed us into the playoffs when we really shouldn't have been because everybody was hurt.
I 100% agree with what you're saying. I don't know why they fired him. It's a bad call on my part. Especially considering the coaches they're looking into now, which we can go ahead and talk about if you want to.
Yeah, Gavin and I prepared a short list, each of us, of some people that we think should be hired for the Pacers coach. Already confirmed by Adrian Wojnarowski that the Pacers are looking into Mike D'Antoni, which I think might be a good move, personally.
I know Mike D'Antoni is the coach of the Rockets right now. With his contract coming up, questionable if he'll return or not. I personally wouldn't want Mike D'Antoni. I don't think Mike D'Antoni... I'm not saying Mike D'Antoni is a bad coach.
Right.
I'm saying Mike D'Antoni, I don't think, is a good fit for the Pacers.
Yeah.
The way he runs the Rockets is, one, you know, Harden's going to get the ball every single time, and they pull so many threes. They play small ball. And before Mike D'Antoni was coaching these Rockets, what was he, assistant coach on the Lakers? Or he coached the Lakers, didn't he?
I know that he was the coach for the Suns. I don't know where he was in between the Suns and the Rockets.
I know he played for the Lakers. Or no, not played. I know he coached the Lakers at some sort of position somewhere in between that time.
I am going to say this in defense of Mike D'Antoni, okay?
Yeah.
Pacers play an old style of basketball. Mm-hmm. We have a back-to-the-basket center. But other than that, almost everybody in the lineup can shoot. Mm-hmm. Like, think of this starting five real quick. So you have Brogdon at point guard.
Mm-hmm.
You have, this is a small ball lineup, but then you have Oladipo at shooting guard. Jeremy Lamb at small forward. TJ Warren at power forward. Miles at the five. Everybody in that lineup can space the floor.
Everyone can. So yeah, everyone can shoot in that lineup. You're 100% correct, with the exception of Miles Turner, who won't be on the team this season because I demand he be traded.
I think Miles Turner can shoot serviceably. I don't think that Nate McMillan used him correctly. And I think that that's one of the reasons that I didn't like Nate McMillan a lot. But so I think that we could have that lineup. Very good floor spacing. We're going to get out-rebounded, but if you look at our rebounding numbers, we're already an awful rebounding team. So it's not going to change anything. And I think that we could move into like a semi-Steve Nash when Mike D'Antoni coached, like a semi-7 seconds or less offense, because Malcolm Brogdon's a good passer, Victor Oladipo's a good passer, TJ Warren is a monstrous scorer, Jeremy Lamb is too, and I think that that could be a lineup that would haunt a lot of the slower teams if we just get all those guys running the entire game.
And I can see how that would work, because the Rockets do the exact same thing. I mean, they run PJ Tucker at center.
Yeah, exactly.
And it works.
And so, Miles Turner is a defensive beast. Victor Oladipo and Malcolm Brogdon, both really solid defenders. TJ Warren actually was our most consistent defender this year, which if you look at his Phoenix days, he was not a very good defender. And I legitimately think that if Mike D'Antoni comes in, he can usher in a new wave of Pacers basketball that would be more perimeter-centric and way more in with the modern NBA.
That right there is what scares me personally. Mike D'Antoni is going to come in and he's going to tell his players to shoot the ball. He's going to tell his players to shoot the ball. I mean, that's how Mike D'Antoni coaches.
Yeah. And we've seen that fail before for Mike D'Antoni.
Yeah. And
when, what was it? Against the Warriors where they missed 23 straight threes or something like that?
It was terrible. But the only problem, when he tells the players to shoot, as you said, Pacers are one of the worst rebounding teams in the NBA. If they're pulling, though, they're not getting offensive boards.
They're not.
And if we pull those threes and our players cannot hit those, and we also are struggling on defense at this time, because there are times where the Pacers do struggle on defense. The Pacers are a very, like, sloppy team.
Yeah, hit or miss a lot of the time.
And if D'Antoni is telling the players, run up there, we're going to run pick and pops, we're going to try and get inside the paint, make them everyone collapse, kick it out to TJ Warren, Miles Turner in the corner, right?
Right. So
someone. And if we cannot hit our shots, we're going to lose the game. And that's what scares me, because with D'Antoni and the Rockets, you have Harden. You know Harden is going to put up 40 a game, most likely. And you know Harden, no one can guard Harden's step back. So you know it's more likely
if you
that it will
points,
work on that team. Yeah. But the Pacers, it's a different selection, because they're star player is a post scorer.
Yeah.
But he can shoot. He can shoot. But he's built more for the post play.
Yeah.
And so it kind of scares me a lot more. And then your main ball handler is Victor Oladipo.
I understand
which isn't
that.
A bad thing. Which is not a bad thing. Yeah, that's kind of where I'm coming from with it. I can see your point as well, though.
Yeah, I think Mike D'Antoni, solid choice. He has the resume. There are definitely ways that he could succeed or fail in Indiana. Do you have a coaching prospect?
Yeah, I do, actually. Greg Popovich. Contract's coming up, Indiana native, so not too likely. I don't think he would come here.
Greg Popovich, for those who don't know, has won a million rings.
Yeah.
Coach Tim Duncan, Manu Ginobili, is known for getting the most out of no-named players. I think that he would love the roster in Indiana. It's a bunch of hard-nosed guys. We have people like TJ McCollum, Malcolm Brogdon, who are just not afraid to dive on the floor. And I think that we have a scrappy enough team for Greg Popovich to want, but at the same time, I think he's trying to get money.
Yeah, and I feel like I couldn't see Greg Popovich going anywhere besides the Spurs. Spending his entire career in San Antonio.
I can't imagine him not in a San Antonio polo.
And I mean, he's been in San Antonio his entire career. Why would he leave now? I mean, if he wanted to leave, he could have done it. Well, I mean, what, 22? Is that years he's been coaching?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So 22 years. Why would he leave now? I mean, he has his rings. He has money. He loves the Spurs. He has Tim Duncan, who's the assistant coach. He loves Tim Duncan. I couldn't see him leaving.
Yeah, doesn't seem super likely, but his assistant coach, Becky Hammond, there's going to be a lot of coaching positions open in this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Pacers could use a coach. We could have the first ever female head coach, which would be definitely a statement for the team. And also, she's a really good coach.
I personally do not watch too many Spurs games, so I don't see her and the coaching staff, aside from knowing that Greg Popovich is a great coach because he's, in my opinion, the greatest coach of all time. I don't watch too many Spurs games, so I wouldn't know. So you can rant on about this if you would like to, because I've been ranting on for a little while.
I've seen Greg Popovich gets ejected a lot, mm-hmm. right? We've seen that. She's been the assistant coach for a couple years now. I've made sure to keep an eye on whenever she gets checked in as coach. Especially, I'm pretty sure she coached for a while, too, after Greg Popovich's wife sadly passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And he missed a couple games because of that. And the way that she controls the huddle, the way that she is calling plays, yelling at the players, it's very Pop-esque. The way that she gets excited and gets yelling at the players and stuff. And I just think that she's a good coach, and she's very Greg Popovich like. She's younger and a lady, and I think that she would do a great job with the Pacers. And I just think that it would be a really solid. I think that that's the safest choice as far as talent.
I could see that.
I think that she is going to be a very good coach, a very reliable coach, and I think that the only thing against her is lack of head coaching jobs, which that's just because she hasn't been a head coach in the NBA yet. But I legitimately think that she could be a really good coach on this team.
Yeah, so if I'm going based off just what you're saying, I could see it. Obviously, I can't say it. I see it 100% because I don't watch Spurs games. I don't really see Spurs. I don't really see anything about the Spurs in general unless it's news, to be honest. I'm going to be honest with you. So I don't know too much about her as an assistant coach besides a few of the basic things you said. She's never been a head coach. I knew that, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but going off what you said, I would probably take over my D'Antoni. Only, like... And if anyone's listening and wants Mike D'Antoni to be the coach of the Pacers, that's fine. I'm not trying to say that I would be extremely upset if it happened. I'm just saying it's a 50-50.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't be upset if Mike D'Antoni joined the team.
Yeah.
There's good things and bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it would make me feel better than when the Colts signed Phillip Rivers. I didn't think that was a good pick.
I would love to talk about that if we were a multi-diverse sports.
If this was the screen and the screen shovel, not the pick and slip.
And the screen and shovel. If this was the halfback toss, if we were not a basketball show solely, we would talk about that.
If this was the read option.
Yeah, if this is the read option.
This is the pick and slip.
But this is the pick and slip, so we don't talk about NFL here. But yeah, so I was talking about coaches. That's kind of all I really had to say about the coaches. I don't know if you had anything more to say.
Yeah, no, that's about it for me.
Okay. Next up, I want to talk about Paul George.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's a few things we could actually legitimately talk about here, not just me ranting on about him.
Well, just real quickly, I'm going to just say the last two sweeps because we predicted these last time.
Okay.
You predicted that the Celtics would sweep the 76ers. Mm-hmm. We had our rant on the 76ers. Our podcast's up on Audio Boom if you want to hear Gavin and I's thought on that.
Yeah.
76ers got swept by the Celtics. Also in the East, Toronto swept the Nets. We knew that was happening.
Everyone knew that was going to happen.
Toronto, great team. Boston, Brooklyn didn't even know they were in the playoffs.
Yeah. No Kyrie, best player, Caris LeVert.
Yeah, Caris LeVert. We knew that was happening.
Yeah.
On to Paul George.
Yeah.
Had Gavin questioning his thoughts the first week.
I did.
Games
2, 3, and 4, I believe.
Yeah. He was dropping donuts.
Had me game one. I was chilling. I mean,
yeah, he had a bad game, you know?
Yeah.
Everybody has bad games. Yeah.
Game one, bad game. Everyone has bad games. It's first game of the playoffs. You get your nerves out. It's okay, right?
Yeah.
It's cool. I'm not mad. Games two. He really bursted the bubble. I'm like, okay. This isn't great. What was he, 2 for 13, I think?
Yeah.
And what, shot 20% maybe or less?
I'm pulling it up right now.
7 points maybe, 9?
He had 14 points, shot 14. 4 for 17. 23%.
So the game after that must have been the game where he had 7 or 9 points. Because one of those games, he had about 7 or 9 points. I think he averaged about 11 just because of game 2.
Paul George then had 11 points.
11. So yeah. So very close to 7 and 9. And he was shooting back-to-back games, like 2 for 15, maybe 4 for 15, and then 2 for 13. It was really bad. It was really bad. He was averaging 25% from the field.
Yeah. Every time that I would see a bad play from Paul George, I would immediately send it to Gavin, and Gavin would say, please stop, I had to see it once already.
Yeah. It was so bad. And I was so mad. Like, I was furious at Paul George. Paul George, you cannot be a star in the NBA and then play like this. That's unacceptable.
Only hit a quarter of your shots.
Unacceptable. You are a star. You are a max contract player.
And on top of that, he's playing 40 minutes a game.
Exactly. 40 minutes a game, max contract player, star. You're playing with Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard trusted you, and you did that.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah, really
How
let
do
us
you
all down.
Do that? But then he comes back in game 5, 35 points.
But game four, Luka Doncic hit the game-winning three-pointer, and Paul George had 9 points.
Yeah.
Nine points.
And speaking of the Luka Doncic game winner, I was furious about that, too, because why did we have Reggie Jackson on Luka Doncic for the last try? Don't put Paul George on him because we all know Paul George. It would have went in all net.
Yeah.
It would have went in even better because
Paul George gets posters on him. He gets game winners hit over him.
Paul George, anytime the game is on the line and Paul George is guarding him, he just turned the channel because you know he's going to hit the shot.
If Paul George and I were playing 21 and we were tied at 20 and I had the ball, it's going in.
I love Paul George, but for some reason, every single time, the D-Wade game winner way back in way back in Miami days. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he hit he got fouled on a jumper and by Paul George. They didn't call it and he still made nothing but net. Then the Damian Lillard was first round.
Yeah.
A couple years ago. Pulls it from the logo, bangs it on Paul George. Just this year in the bubble, Devin Booker and his Suns against the Clippers.
Kelly Oubre earlier this season dunked for the win.
Exactly, on Paul George for the win. You got Devin Booker fadeaway right over Paul George. Great defense, nothing but that. Like, just don't put Paul George on him. Put Kawhi Leonard on him.
And then Paul George has the nerve to look the camera in the eye and say, that was a bad shot.
Like, just Like, just put Kawhi on him. Because if for some reason, Paul George and game winners, they never go
and
right.
Paul George is historically a decent defender.
No, and the thing is, none of those are bad defense. Tell me that Devin Booker was bad defense. His hand, he could
Devin
not
Booker
see the rim.
Was looking the other direction.
He could not see the rim. Yeah. His hand was almost slapped him. Same thing with the Damian Lillard. He jumped before Dame even shot the ball, and he still made it. Like, it was. He times them so well. It's just for some reason he gets a game.
Says, that's a bad shot.
Like, I don't understand. I don't understand. There's so much to talk about. I can go on to the next thing about Paul George, where he iced his shoulder. Ices his shoulder after every
with
game.
The excuses, Paul George.
He always ices his shoulder after every single shooting, bad shooting performance.
Yeah, he at the beginning of the playoffs was like, I feel 100%. This is the best I've ever felt. I'm about to play the best basketball in my life. And then he missed four shots and started wiping his hands on his shorts after every miss. And he was grabbing his shoulder. He was like, oh, it hurts so bad. Iced his shoulder post game. Come on, Paul.
Hey, I love Paul George, but he can't do this. He can't do this. Not in the playoffs. But then also
PG-13%.
onto a more serious note, though, he did say he was battling anxiety.
Yeah,
and
anxiety
depression,
and depression during the playoffs.
From isolation inside the bubble, not being able to see eye to eye physically with any family members or friends.
Yeah, and that's a legitimate issue. And I bet a lot of players are feeling that right now.
And that is a legitimate issue, and I hope he wasn't using that as an excuse, because that's not a topic you kid about. That's just a serious topic.
Yeah.
And that's why I was saying on to a more serious note, because if that was the case, I do feel very bad for him, because not only is he going on with the Twitter slander, the Instagram slander, all the memes about him, and if he's battling depression, I know he sees it. You're not avoiding that.
Yeah, Damian Lillard, who just left the bubble, we'll get to that in a minute, said that dislocated finger, lateral knee sprain, but this is good for the soul. Missed my baby boy under a picture of him and his son, Duke, I believe. No, Duke is Bradley Beal's son. I think this is just Dame Jr.
I thought Duke was Jason Tatum's son.
I think that Duke is Bradley Beal's son. Because there's the video of Duke at the sideline of a Wizards game kissing just some random baby, which I thought was super, because he's also like two.
Maybe their kids had the same name.
I don't know.
Because I thought it was Duke.
But
I don't know.
But Damian Lillard clearly missed his family. Of course he does, you know.
Everyone does.
But Paul George, definitely feel you on that. Anxiety and depression are no joke. And really sad to see anybody going through that. Mm-hmm. And I hope that now he's playing better because he's starting to feel better.
I hope he does it. He did say, I was in a really dark place at this point.
Yeah.
I checked out mentally for the first few games. He said, now I'm back. I'm healthy. I underestimated mental health, but now I'm not anymore. I appreciate all my friends, family, coaching staff, teammates who have lifted me up through these dark times. And you just see him back. I guess we'll see it through his play style if the playoffs resume, of course.
When the Clippers do make it out of the first round, or if you make it past the first round, then you do get to bring family into the bubble. So I think that won't be making everybody
better.
Feel a lot better.
Yeah.
And especially because, that's only going to be down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's only going to be 8 teams left in the bubble. So adding 3 family members per person makes sense.
Yeah.
Are you done with your Paul George rant?
Oh yeah, I'm done.
We touched on it a little bit. Clippers are up 3-2 on the Mavericks. So in the East, Milwaukee is up 3-1 on Orlando. We knew that was happening.
Yeah.
They, one more game and they win. The game would have been last night, but it was boycotted and now will be moved sometime into the future.
Quick,
they're winning.
Thought about the Magic Bucks game. Magic took game when everyone knew they were going to take another game. So when the Bucks technically forfeited the match, could you imagine if the Magic would have accepted the W?
I don't know if they haven't.
They didn't. Okay. They didn't accept it, but could you imagine if they accepted the W?
Yeah, the Bucks did not make a statement before the game that they were doing it.
Yeah.
The Magic were warming up, and the Bucks just never came out of their locker room. Which, powerful statement, and the Magic just weren't aware. I'm sure that if the Bucks would have told them beforehand, the Magic would have also stood out.
Yeah.
But so three very interesting series. After Portland went up one game, Lakers have won three in a row now.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard, it was some sort of knee fracture and dislocated his finger in each of the last two games. He's fighting injuries. CJ McCollum's back is literally fractured. Yusuf Nurkic is just coming off of an injury, and his grandmother just died. The team's battered and bruised. I'm now switching my call to the Lakers are going to pull it out.
I have Blazers in seven. No, I'm kidding. I don't have Blazers in seven. Yeah. Unless Carmelo Anthony puts up Wilt numbers and averages 150 points per game on 60 rebounds.
Yeah, Damian Lillard is out of the bubble now. So it's not looking great for the Blazers' playoff chances.
Sadly.
Or they're in the playoffs, actually, for their championship. Houston OKC tied at two.
Great series.
Yeah, Houston went up 2-0. Chris Paul and the Thunder brought it back. It's tied 2-2. It's been incredible.
It's been a great, great series. Yeah. As you said, Houston was up 2-0. No Westbrook. For some reason,
Westbrook.
Every time I go into the comments to look at. Cool, because everything on Instagram at this point right now is about the boycotting itself in the NBA games. And someone about like the Thunder and Rockets. Like, I think Chris Paul was talking to Russell Westbrook about what they're going to do for the game.
Yeah.
Because Chris Paul is one of the leaders of an organization, I think.
It's the NBA Players Association.
Yeah. And so he's in the high ranks of that.
Yeah.
So
he's the leader of it right now.
Yeah. So he was talking to Westbrook about what was going to happen. And I go in the comments, and all I see are, this is more time for Westbrook to rest.
Yeah.
So I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Also,
Westbrook might be back now.
Also, more time for Dame to get back in shape.
I don't think Chris
Paul, last game, 26 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and iced the game. He's great. Chris Paul's great.
Chris Paul's great. Hearing Chris Paul only have 3 assists may be the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Chris Paul's part of the reason that 3 is my favorite number, up there with Dwayne Wade and CJ McCollum. Three great little guys. I'm not huge, so it feels nice seeing Dwayne Wade, who's a 6'3" shooting guard, pretty small for a shooting guard. Or is he 6'4"?
He's 6'4".
Still not huge for a shooting guard. 6 foot Chris Paul, like 6'3" CJ McCollum, not huge dudes, and all three of them are ballers.
Yeah,
and they all wear the same jersey number. That's just a little side.
Chris Paul side thing. Chris Paul has not gotten the recognition he deserves.
Chris
for
Paul
this
is
season.
Content. Yeah, they're the 5 seed, and there was a, according to ESPN, a 1% chance they even make the playoffs,
which was ridiculous. In my opinion, that's ridiculous. Chris Paul and that Thunder team are not bad.
Yeah, Danilo Gallinari,
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander,
Steven Adams. Great team overall. They have a lot of pieces, and I can see why people would underestimate them. But at the same time, ESPN, come on. Dang.
I mean, beginning of the season, I could see if it was the beginning of the season, because Chris Paul you don't think Chris Paul's in his, he's obviously not in his prime anymore. You don't think he's in the point in career where he's going to be able to carry the Thunder to the playoffs and the 5th seed?
Yeah.
And contend to beat the Houston Rockets with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. So you don't see that happening.
Yeah.
They don't have aside from Chris Paul, they don't have another big, big, big star. They just have a really well-balanced team.
Yeah, but if you don't think that that's... Oh, also Dennis Schroeder. We didn't mention
that. Oh, yeah, Dennis Schroeder.
And sixth man of the year, in my opinion, because the Clippers have 2 candidates for sixth man. How are they both the sixth man? The sixth man is the sixth one. How can you have 2 people at 6? That doesn't
honestly.
You have spots 1 through 5, and you have 6 and 7. One of them is the seventh man. Who is it? Is it Trez or is it Lou? Pick.
It has to be Trez.
Yeah,
it
Lou Williams is the oldest man alive.
Sixth man, like Lou Will. Everyone knows. every big NBA fan knows six man like Lou Will.
Yeah, Lou Williams is one of the greatest six men of all time, but I think that Dennis Schroeder has his number this year. Dennis Schroeder, incredible.
Speaking of Lou Will, didn't he just drop to, what, in game four, dropped like 37 points off the bench?
Let me double check.
It was either game, because game five, PG dropped 35. Oh, the game before, he dropped like 37. By
the way, the Clippers won their game 154-111, so they won by 43 points, which is a lot of points. Yeah, Lou Williams, no, off the bench dropped 8.
That's the game before that, yeah. Okay. That game is the game PG dropped 35. The game before that, PG didn't play good. And I think Lou Will dropped like 37.
36.
Yeah. So, yeah.
On only 34 minutes.
Yeah.
So he's scoring more times than he even had minutes for.
Yeah.
Lou Williams is great. Dennis Schroeder's great. All the sixth man candidates are great, but I don't think you can have two sixth man of the year candidates from the same team. I just don't see how that works logically. Also, if your sixth man is playing more minutes than your starting point guard, he's not the sixth man. Why? You're just bringing him off the bench.
That's another thing. Everyone knows Lou Will plays better as a sixth man than he does starting. That's why he's called sixth man like Lou Will. And so everyone knows.
It just seems kind of cheap.
Everyone knows what they do is they put his rotation as sixth man, and then 6 minutes into the game, they throw him in.
Yeah.
Leave him in for the rest of the quarter.
He gets more minutes than Patrick Beverley, and Patrick Beverley's the starter.
Yeah.
So what are you, why?
They just do it because whenever they put him as a starter, he plays so much worse.
They do it because Lou Williams wants the sixth man of the year every year.
Hey, they could do it for that reason too, honestly.
Yeah.
Imagine stacking up on sixth man awards knowing you're a starter on almost every team in NBA. Like,
same thing they did to Manu Ginobili. It's just so much better to have somebody who's a great scorer come off the bench playing again. Because usually starters will play like 10 minutes of the first quarter.
Yeah.
And then they won't play until like halfway through the second quarter. That first part from like 2 minutes left in the first to 6 minutes left in the second, Lou Williams will drop 20 points. he'll just destroy your second unit.
Lou Will, it's because Lou Will is not a sixth man. He's not a bench player. Lou Williams is a certified starter.
Speaking, we're already on all the awards right now. We'll get back to the Nuggets and Jazz series because that's personally been my favorite to watch so far. Let's talk about awards real quick. 2 weeks ago, it was announced that Nick Nurse won Coach of the Year. Yeah. I don't think that we discussed that. Forgot about it, basically. But that's Nick Nurse deserved it. The Toronto Raptors lost Kawhi Leonard, still the 2 seed in the East. Great team.
Nick Nurse, great coach, won it back-to-back years, deserving of both years, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's a great coach. His defensive schemes are incredible. His offense is incredible. He's the future of NBA coaching, and I have nothing bad to say about him.
Nothing bad to say until they fire him for no apparent reason.
Yeah, they're going to get swept in the finals, and then they're just going to be like, all right, get out of here.
Yeah, because that's how every single NBA team runs it. They say it's the coach's Spurs fault. Somehow. They just expect their team to be great, and it's the coach's fault when they lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though they don't build the roster, they just build the minutes.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
So, then yesterday, Giannis Antetokounmpo was announced to win Defensive Player of the Year. It's pretty likely he's winning MVP. Also, that's one of the reasons that I've had Giannis as MVP over LeBron, over James Harden. Giannis is a dog on defense. He is incredible. He averages like 2 blocks, a steal, and this is the craziest stat to me. The average NBA player at the rim shoots like 60% directly at the rim.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis holds opponents to 42% on the rim when he's guarding them.
Insanely low.
That's the lowest inside the paint. Yes. That 42% on layups. Layups and dunks. Low. When Giannis is guarding you, you're shooting 42%.
I saw a highlight reel. Was Giannis just swatting people off the backboard? And
he's so big that it's kind of easy to get around him on the perimeter. But once he's running next to you, your shot's gone. Erased. Yeah. He's a great defender.
And that's that lengthiness of Giannis that just gives him such a boost.
Yeah, the Greek freak. Like, what do you even do when you, like, I genuinely, if I was playing a one-on-one against Giannis, I'd just leave.
Yeah, because that length gives him an immense boost. Like, a huge, huge boost.
If you said you have to beat Giannis in a 1v1 to 5 points, and if you lose, then your whole family's going to die, I'd say, might as well just go do it now.
Oh, man.
I'm losing.
That's deep.
It's over. It's over.
That's deep.
But also, I think Giannis is a really nice guy and maybe would give me a chance if I said, hey, Giannis, please don't kill my parents.
Yeah, Giannis would give you a chance. Yeah. I don't think there's an NBA player that would beat you over that.
Markieff Morris.
If there was any NBA player in the history of the league,
Zaza Pachulia,
that would do that, just cut him. Cut him and no one's on him. Just get rid of him. No, he does not. He is a terrible human being.
But yeah, last awards, Sixth Man of the Year. Who do you got?
Sixth Man of the Year? I'm biased. Lou Will.
Yeah.
I'm sixth man like Lou Will. I'm one of the greatest, maybe second greatest behind Jamal Crawford.
We just went through this. I got Dennis Schroeder.
Dennis Schroeder is a great, great sixth man for the Thunder. Big reason the Thunder have honestly had so much success.
Yeah,
really in the postseason and regular season. Yeah, yeah, he is.
That's all we have. We already talked about sixth man. Who do you have for MVP?
I have Giannis.
Yeah, I'm Giannis. They did a mock vote right when the bubble formed, and something like 198 out of the 200 voters voted ridiculous for Giannis as MVP.
Ridiculous. Giannis, every single time I check a stat line, oh, what is that? A very cool 7-17 game?
Yeah.
With like 4 assists and 3 and 2 blocks. Sounds about right.
And they won by 50?
Yes.
Huh, that's crazy.
Sounds about right. Sounds like an average Giannis stat line, but if anyone else did that, it's all over the news.
Yeah, yeah. Giannis is absolutely insane. He's about to win his back-to-back MVP, and since he just won Defensive Player of the Year, he will be the first person since Hakeem Olajuwon in 1994 to win the Defensive Player of the Year and MVP in the same year.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, and Michael Jordan also had that in 1988.
Yeah.
Which is 32 years ago. Which,
Michael Jordan.
Which, you right there who's listening. You are that old.
Fourth what? Is Michael Jordan's fourth year?
Yeah.
MVP and Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah,
wow.
Did you know that the only person ever to win MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, and Finals MVP was Hakeem Olajuwon in 1994?
That's an insane stat line. Imagine being like, I won the MVP.
I won every award.
I basically won every single major award there was to win that year. I won the DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year. I won the MVP, and I won the Finals MVP, and I got a ring.
And I think, and got the ring.
Yeah.
And I think that Giannis has a chance to do that this year.
That's an absurd stat line.
Yeah. Best paint scorer since, Shaq. Best post player since Shaq. Best defender since Hakeem Olajuwon. So great.
Could you imagine if he could shoot? If Giannis develops a shot, the league is over.
Yeah.
The league's done.
Yeah, I agree.
If Giannis could shoot, the league would be over.
And we're going to just real quick. I think this is one of the last things we have to say. Jazz versus Nuggets. Jokic in the last game in the first quarter went 8 out of 8 from just shooting, including one, like, half-court shot he didn't miss in the first quarter. Donovan Mitchell's been going off 250-point games. The first game had 57 points, which is the third most in a playoff game ever. He's also the third player ever, behind Michael Jordan and Allen Iverson to have 250-point games in one playoff series. Jamal Murray also had a 50-point game. He's been playing crazy. And the Jazz are up 3-2, which I predicted the Jazz were going to win. And a lot of people disagreed with me.
What? Can you imagine if the Nuggets come back down 3-1? Can you see that happening?
Maybe. If Jamal Murray keeps playing like he is, I don't think it would be a surprise.
Do you know Jamal Murray has like 92 points, shooting like 60% or something like that? He has no turnovers.
Last two. Yeah, because he dropped a 42 piece and then he also dropped a 50.
Yeah.
So 92 points, no turnovers. Two. And he's played like a total of like 80 minutes in between those two games, not a single turnover.
How do you not have it? Yeah, how do you not have a turnover? You always realize that the best players on the team always have the most turnovers solely based off the fact that they have the ball the most.
Like LeBron, who is doesn't turn the ball over very much. He averages 10 assists and like 3 turnovers, and that's expected because he's getting 10 assists.
Yeah, exactly. When you're the star player on a game, you're expected, not expected as in like you should go get 3 turnovers, but yeah, like you're James expected Harden, to have turnovers.
James Harden's known for having quite a few turnovers per game because he's holding the ball for 30 out of the 45 minutes he plays.
Yeah.
Like, it's because when you have the ball for that much, you're going to drop it occasionally. Your pass is going to be sloppy. That's just part of the job description.
Yeah, that's just part of being the top player on the team, being the top star on the team. Every single star player you look at is going to have probably average at least 2 turnovers a game.
Yeah. And Jamal Murray, no turnovers. He's not even a star player, and he's had 92 points.
That's ridiculous.
Overall, playoffs have been exciting. I'm really looking forward to when they start up again.
Yep. If they do, do you think they'll start up again?
Yeah, I'm. So there was a vote where, and these are factual statements right now. There's no opinions being shared here. There was a Zoom call last night with all the teams, or maybe it was a meeting, but I just heard meeting. I'm assuming it was a Zoom call because of social distancing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That out of the all 30 teams voted, it was not an official vote. It was more just a survey. And the only two teams that said that they wanted to cancel the playoffs were the Clippers and Lakers. So that means that there's, 16 other teams or 14 other teams that said, no, we don't want to leave yet.
Yeah, and I wonder if, LeBron being on the Lakers and then, should I just say Lakers Clippers as a whole? Because they're probably the two biggest teams in the playoffs right now, and they have the Bucks.
Right.
I wonder if they'll have any impact on anyone's decisions.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued to see if they have any, if anyone changes it solely based off because of LeBron and the Lakers.
Yeah.
And because, I feel like LeBron has a lot of power.
Yeah, definitely. He's the most impactful player in the league. If LeBron says we're not playing, we're not playing.
I really do wonder if other teams are going to follow suit of Clippers and Lakers. I'm very interested to see that. Very.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think that LeBron's opinion could sway a lot of decisions, but at the same time, LeBron wants this ring. LeBron wants to honor Kobe like he said he was going to do. And I think that the main thing is just going to be if there is justice served. If those cops... if justice is served, then I think we will get the playoffs back, or at least if there's steps in the right direction, because I think that these players definitely do want to play. Basketball is their lives, but I think it's really good that all the players are fighting against that shut up and dribble mentality that so many people have had for a really long time.
Yeah, and they're just standing up for themselves, what they believe in, because, people before players.
Yeah.
They're people before their players.
Yeah, and I just think that LeBron James is the best. From a humanitarian perspective, one of the best basketball players of all time, opened up his own school, stuff like that. I think players are listening when LeBron is talking.
Yeah. And I agree.
Yeah. So
I'll go ahead. Is that all you had to talk about?
Yeah, I think that's where we're gonna end it.
So. All right. I thank you guys for tuning in this today. We will be back next Thursday. Probably start around 12 to maybe 1 is usually the latest we go. It's 12:40 right now. Brayden, you have nothing left to say?
Please just tune into my show in a couple minutes. Gavin will be back on.
I will.
In about 30, 45 minutes, we're going to draft our Space Jam rosters.
Yep.
Draft out of all the Looney Tunes. So that should be fun. Thanks for letting me plug.
Yep. We'll be play about another 30 minutes of music. Then me and Brayden will be back on the show. We'll be doing Looney Tunes basketball teams, just the first 5 starting lineups.
Yeah.
And then I'll head out off the show and let Brayden do the rest of his on his own. Make sure you guys tune in. We record these radio shows on podcasts now. We have a podcast. We recorded these, and it's on Audio Boom. Make sure you guys go check it out. It's on WBDG's Twitter.
Yeah, if you go to WBDG Indie on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, you can find links to our Audio Boom.
Mm-hmm.
And it is called Pick and Slip Episode 1.
Yep.
Because that's what it is.
That's the only one that's on there right now.
Yeah, this one will be up soon. And then You can re-listen to it as many times as you want. Yep. All the future episodes will be on there if you miss an episode and you just really want to listen. So check us out there.
Yep. You guys want to reply to us on Twitter, call us dumb, say our opinions are stupid, argue with us. I'm always open to argue.
Yeah, I would love to get into some heated Twitter debates.
Yep, you guys can reply through it on the WBDG Twitter. And maybe one of us will respond and we'll have a little argument, DM you and talk with you about it. But see, make sure you guys tune in next Thursday. We appreciate you guys listening. And that's all from me and Braden. Peace. To the beach, y'all. Let's go. All around the world. Y'all know. This is.